from the town of McKinney, Texas, named the best small town in America, our good friend Kirby Wilbur, our Lone Star State correspondent, and of course, talk show host emeritus here from KVI joins us. Kirby, how you doing this morning?
Doing great, John. How are you?
Great. Now, I want to talk to you about the election here, the primary election we had. But before we get there, you just had a tour of KVI listeners going to historic sites, places of interest on the East Coast. And that happens to dovetail with several articles that I've read that say that these places, you know, they usually have tours, you know, tour guides or multimedia presentations and the like. And they say they are increasingly, quote, woke. And they're
absolutely
that way by design. They point out Monticello, where left-leaning philanthropist David Rubenstein, who worked in the Carter administration, donated $20 million to restore, quote, the landscape of slavery at Monticello. Yep. Now, you took KVI listeners there, and I said,
I wonder
if this is really the case, or is this being maybe exaggerated a little bit? What say you, Kirby Wilbur?
Unfortunately, John, it's true, and it's happening not just at Monticello, but elsewhere. By the way, I want to say hi to all my peeps. We had 34 KVI listeners on the trip, had a great time. And it was an incredible trip. But Monticello for sure has gone woke thanks to Mr. Rubenstein, who is now kind of running the operation of Monticello. He's funding it. And what they're doing, John, is they're emphasizing the role of enslaved people at Monticello with an emphasis on Thomas Jefferson's reported affair with Sally Hemings. And they now have a choice of two tours when you go to Monticello. One tour is for the flowers and garden area. The second tour is for the enslaved people's quarters. And what I found interesting, I didn't go on either tour. I went to meet Mr. Jefferson because they have an impersonator there for Thomas Jefferson. And the group took the tour. And there were two groups divided between two guides. And it was interesting because I was at the end of the tour waiting for Mr. Jefferson when the tours ended there. And the final presentation by the young black college student guide was very balanced and very fair. And yes, Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. And yes, he was conflicted. The tour led by the long-haired, hippie-looking white college student was full of white guilt and systemic racism, and Jefferson was evil. And it was interesting to see the contrast between the person of color, who was fairly balanced, and the white liberal guilty guy that was Jefferson's all evil. But you can find it in, for instance, in the bookstore at Harper's Ferry. They have the 1619 report, and they have the 1619 books, but they have nothing to counter 1619. Of course, that's the effort by some people to rewrite American history to suggest that we were founded on slavery.
Well, that was radical and on freedom. Yeah, that was a radical writer, Nicole Hannah Jones, and her article that has been turned into a book, 1619, has been discredited. It's been debunked. It's factually terrible history. And
it's there in the bookstore at Harper's Ferry as the only history book. There are a couple of side books on what happened at Harper's Ferry, but the only general history book is the 1619 book at Harper's Ferry Bookstore.
Okay, well, it was not unusual on this or any other continent to have, you know, large farms worked by slaves in the 1700s.
Correct.
Okay, that was not unusual here or in Asia or in Europe or South America, etc. What was unusual?
Well, it was universal.
Yes, it was universal. What was unusual was someone coming up with the idea to write the Declaration of Independence, or
correct,
in the case of James Madison, they have the same problem at his estate. And by the way, the same guy bankrolling a revisionist interpretation You've got to wonder what gets in someone's head that how can I discredit the guy who wrote much of the Constitution, much of the Bill of Rights, several of the Federalist Papers, and also came up with the three branches of government. How can I discredit him? How about, you know, with when people go to tour his home, we emphasize the fact that he owned slaves. Again, no one's shrinking from that fact, but they're emphasizing it. Go ahead, Kerb.
Correct. No, they're very smart, John, in what they're doing by funding the birthplaces. There is very little mention at Monticello of the Declaration of Independence. There's not, as I understand, we did not go to Montpelier, Madison's home, but from what I understand, there is no mention there of the Constitution. It's all about Madison as a slave owner. And so they are slowly but surely eroding our heritage and our connection. Yes, these men were contradictions, and yes, these men had slaves. However, Jefferson came up and verbalized the unique idea that we were entitled to self-government, that all men are created equal. And it were the heirs of that heritage, that document, John, that fought a bloody civil war, killing hundreds of thousands of fellow Americans to end slavery. And that isn't mentioned very often. Is it?
No. Well, here's the other thing. Martin Luther King based the civil rights movement on America, quote, living out the full content of its creed, the full meaning of its creed. All men are created equal. I mean, Martin Luther King revered the founders and quoted them regularly. And here we have, you know, liberal, white, wealthy multimillionaires trying to trash their legacy 50 years later.
Yep. Totally correct.
So when the KVI listeners got back on the bus after touring Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's home, were they angry? Were they confused? Were they enlightened?
No.
How would you describe them?
Because they had their favorite history teacher with them, John. We had sessions every night where I would either prep them what they might run into, or we would go over what we had learned the day before. We were in Philadelphia, went to Gettysburg, then we went to Monticello, went to Williamsburg and Yorktown, then back to D.C. And every night, most of us got together in the restaurant or the bar or the hotel and went through what had been said, what was right, what was wrong, you know, what the guides got wrong. But they came out okay by the time we were through.
Well, thank God they had you as a guide. I mean, thank goodness they had you as a guide.
Yeah, no, that was, well, you know, I love to teach history, and that was probably my best part, was interacting with listeners that night and saying, okay, here's what they did wrong, here's what went wrong. And I would point out things in the exhibits or point out things they should have seen. And it wasn't all political correctness. The guide at Gettysburg got a couple things wrong about the battle, but I just enjoyed discussing this with listeners, and I think they got a lot out of it.
Well,
I loved it. I want to do it again.
Now, you want to do it again. Good.
Absolutely. I want to go on another history tour with KVI listeners. I want to do that.
I think listeners would like that as well, Kerb. But let me ask, is this limited to James Madison and Thomas Jefferson's estates, or is this something you saw throughout the tour?
Didn't see it at Williamsburg, but Williamsburg, John, it was vacant, John. Traffic was non-existent, though. There was almost no one there. They had an incredible bookstore in the gift shop, which has been closed because lack of business, and they can't find any employees. They have help wanted ads out just like everybody else, and nobody's working. They don't have the people.
Okay.
Harper's Ferry, interestingly enough, the national park is a pick-up-your-own-trash zone.
Yes.
They don't have trash cans in the national park at Harper's Ferry because they don't have the people to do the maintenance work to maintain them.
Yeah, I was there. I was there 6 months ago with my son Drew.
Yeah, and basically
the town is a national park.
Right. Basically, that's all that's really there. Didn't see it in Williamsburg, Philadelphia. There was an overemphasis, I think, on the use of slavery at the Liberty Bell exhibit, but it was in a positive sense that the Liberty Bell was a symbol of freedom, and that the abolitionists and the women's rights suffragettes used it in their campaign and their causes.
Yes.
I thought it was exclusively the emphasis on cause-related, but it didn't trash Liberty Bell or the founders.
Well, that's good.
Gettysburg's pretty just a battle, so there really was not a lot of PC there. And then D.C., well, you know, we have the Smithsonian. And the American History Museum is very woke and very PC. Very much so.
Well, again, all the more reason why, if you do want to see these great sites, have somebody who can set the record straight after every visit. That's our own Kirby Wilbur.
You know, you got to go with the right guide or you're going to get brainwashed.
All right. So. Hey, listen, we're out of time, but I wanted to talk to you about the election. Can I talk you into joining us tomorrow? Or some other day this week to talk about your take on the election. A big movement made in the 3rd Congressional District. Joe Kent has but extinguished Jamie Herrera Butler's lead and has momentum.
I have some concerns, John. I have some concerns. There were people that were ahead on election night. And all of a sudden, these late vote drops are turning the tide. I'm concerned there could be some rigging going on, John.
That's right. Kirby, we'll talk about this. Looking forward to that a lot here on the John Carlson Show. Kirby Wilbur joining us here on The Commute with Carlson. Thanks, Kirby.